Hi, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Leah, and on this episode, I'm giving you a quick shot of romance author spotlight edition. And on this author spotlight, I am joined by author Melanie Moreland. She is a New York Times, Wall Street Journal, USA Today, international best-selling author, and she lives a happy and content life in a quiet area of Ontario with her beloved husband of 30-plus years and their rescue cat, Amber. Nothing means more to her than her friends and family, and she cherishes every moment spent with them. While seriously addicted to coffee and highly challenged with all things computer-related and technical, she relishes baking, cooking, and trying new recipes for people to sample. She loves to throw dinner parties and also enjoys traveling here and abroad, but finds coming home is always the best part of any trip. Melanie loves stories, especially paired with a good wine, and enjoys skydiving. That's insane. Extreme snowboarding, falling downstairs, and piloting her own helicopter tripping over her feet. She's learning happily ever afters, even bumpy ones, are all in how you tell the story. Well, welcome to the podcast, Melanie.
Thank you. And all of those are totally made up.
I know, but it's so funny because honestly, like the extreme snowboarding, like the falling down the stairs, like it is kind of like snowboarding down the stairs.
It,
if you're going down
it is.
And stuff.
Same with skydiving when I fall over, you know, nothing in front of me and just end up on the floor. But that happens.
I mean, I get the dropsies and I'm very clumsy sometimes. So I understand.
Yeah.
So welcome.
Good. Thank you.
It's always
lovely
to be
here.
Have you around.
Yes, it's one of my favorites.
And before we talk about your new book, Nile, how do you pronounce it? Nile?
Nile, yes.
Well, because you never know. And words are hard and names are hard. But let's get to know you. We have done interviews before, but we're going to do another one.
All right.
Okay. So
ask away, my friend.
If there was a piece of advice you would give past author you, what would it be?
Oh, trust your gut more.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Sometimes there's too much advice and too many people telling you what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned to trust my own gut.
Yeah.
If I feel it's right, that's what I'm going to do. If you can present me with a really good argument as to why this shouldn't happen, I might listen, but I'm a little bit stubborn. But if I feel that this is the direction I want to go in, that's what I do.
Yeah.
And when I was a newer author and all these voices were at me, I listened to some people I shouldn't have listened to.
Yeah.
But I've learned.
Yeah.
And I think every new author goes through it, right? Because you doubt yourself. Even now I doubt myself. But when you're a new author and someone says, oh, I do it like this, or, oh, you should do it like this, you go, oh, well, they've done this. They must know. But not everything fits everybody.
Right.
So you have to learn your own path and stick to it.
That's the thing. Like not everything works for every author. Like some authors, they do things and they're super successful, and the same, a different author does the exact same thing and it's a total.
Yes. It's just like all these advertising classes you can take. What might have worked for his clients or her clients here might work for you, might not. And you go to all these classes and the information is so different. And you're like, well, I thought I should be doing this, but he's telling me to do this.
Yeah.
So it's very confusing. So you have to just sort of learn your stuff, know your audience, and know what they expect of you and what you expect of yourself.
Yeah. I think that's the biggest thing, like what to expect of yourself.
And some people find their lane and they stay in it.
Mm-hmm.
As Karen says, I never stay in any lane that I'm in.
Yeah.
You know, I do rom-com, I do mafia, I do insta-love, I do grumpy sunshine, I do cowboys, I do, like, it's whatever, I'm a mood writer. So whatever mood I'm in, that's what the words are going to come out. Karen likes it best when I'm pissed off and writing mafia.
So for your reader as well, is there
Very
a
much.
subgenre that you tend to read the most?
Historical romance.
Yeah.
I love historical romance. I think there's a beauty in those words and in the simmering passions. You
Mm-hmm.
know, Nowadays, we're very open, at least a lot of people are very open with their emotions, et cetera. Back then, especially women, they were so buttoned up and expected to be a certain way. And I love it when historical romance authors, like my favorite, Scarlett Scott, writes these intelligent, mouthy heroines trying to find their own place in the world. And I just love the language and the poetry of that era.
Would you ever write in the
Never have lived there, and I could never have worn the 35 layers of clothing these women had to wear.
honestly, just the idea of wearing like all those layers. I mean,
Yes.
I'm of the generation that wears the emotional support tank top underneath the
Yes.
shirts, but more than two layers, like that seems like a lot.
I know
And
when
also
they when
the
you look at
dressings.
some of the videos of people who do the whole thing, I'm like, how did they even move?
Breathe.
Can you imagine on a hot day and you got 30 skirts,
Well, and
you
there
know,
wasn't
and you're like,
sufficient like
hello?
air conditioning back then either. Like you,
No.
well, but they didn't bathe as much either,
No,
so.
they didn't bathe, and they were expected to look perfect all the time. And they changed their clothes like 5 times a day, because God forbid you be in a morning dress in the afternoon. My God, some days it's the same shirt and pants 3 days in a row.
I mean, I will neither confirm nor deny that sometimes I wake up and go to sleep in the same clothes.
That happens when I'm deep in a book. I quite often just leave this desk, brush my teeth, go to bed, get up the next morning, and start again.
That is not my excuse. Mine is just
Oh.
pure laziness. So, but sometimes you don't feel like it. Like you're.
No, I can't imagine what these women, and that was just the norm.
Oh, I know. Would you ever write a historical romance?
I have never written one. It is a passion project for me. So,
Is that
some
your? Because I actually have a question. If you have a bucket list subgenre, it would be that.
historical
Yeah.
and not paranormal, but
Like
along the like
fantasy.
the angel devil type
Ooh.
line. I don't know what that's called.
It
Is that
depends on
paranormal?
which direction you go with it. It could be paranormal, it could be fantasy.
Yeah, sort of a combination of the two. So
Amanda would
those are
be the
two
one to
things
ask.
I'd like to try.
Yeah. How come you haven't done it yet?
Because I'm so busy between my commitments for Waterhouse, my commitments for, you know, when I wrote Men in the Falls last year, it was going to be that. And then the Irishman started talking to me, so I had to write that. And then I had to get my books ready for Waterhouse Press and signings. And so next year, this year is my last year for signings for a while. I have one next year and one the year after, and that's it.
That's what you say
So
now.
I plan on really concentrating on the books I want to write. My agent will say to me, how many books this year? And I'll say three, you know, and then 6 books later.
I'll say that's a big fat lie.
Yeah. When I say three, Karen just laughs. She's like, you've already got this one plan, this one plan,
Because
this
she
one half done.
knows.
Oh,
She
she
knows.
knows. She knows. The other day I was muttering about another book. She's like, this is not on the docket. You do not have time for this. And I said to her, well, I'm just sort of sliding it in because I sort of had an idea for something. And she's like, oh my God, stop having ideas.
Yeah, but if you didn't have ideas, she wouldn't have a job.
Well, and if I have an idea, I'm supposed to run it past her.
Where's the fun in that?
I know, I like to surprise her. I send her little snippets of things that I'm writing. I call them drive-bys. So I send them to her just in the middle of the day, and I know my phone's going to ring in 5 minutes. What the hell is this? And I'm like, oh, that's an idea I thought of for a book about this, 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 and this. And she's like, that's not on the docket for the next 2 years. I'm like, well, we're going to have to fill it in because whoever's screaming the loudest gets the words on the page.
So do you, I mean, you kind of sort of try to plan out your year, but for your books themselves, do you plan the books or are you a pantser?
I'm a pantser. I
Full-fledged.
I know the characters, I know the beginning, the end, and I usually know the arc. because I think about it for days, and then I just sit down and start to write. And I never know what's going to come out of my characters' mouths half the time. I mean, when I wrote Finn, it was only going to be Finn. And then 3 chapters in, I'm like, oh, Niall's going to need a book. And then partway through Finn, another character came in. And I was like, oh, someone's going to ask for a book for this guy. And I hadn't planned on it. And then suddenly it started growing in my head. So that's going to happen at some point. So I never know. I plan my year. I plan even a couple of years in advance. And God knows,
If that's going to stick or not, yeah.
rarely that what I've put on the paper for my agent or for Karen or my editor,
Yeah.
because I book her months in advance, and my narrators, God knows it's not that. I'll send John a book and he's like, is this the book we discussed? I'm like, no, it's not the
No,
one I
it's not at
wrote. We can
all,
add
but
another one later in the docket. And he's like, okay.
they're
He never
used to you at this
knows.
point.
Yeah.
Well, Susan Stoker always likes to say that if you're going, like, don't name a character if you're not willing to write them a book.
Yes, exactly.
Because it never fails. There's a character that pops up somewhere in a book that you're like, I really need more from them. And
Yes.
it's nothing is more frustrating as a reader. We don't get that, which I mean, I understand how much time and effort goes into a book, but still, sometimes you just need those books.
Well, one of my team members, Atlee, is huge. I always think she reads the book to find secondary characters for me to write. And I'm like, okay, as I'm writing, I'm like, oh God, Atlee's going to ask. So do I name him? And if I like him, I name him. If not, I
Brandon's
cut them
guide
out.
number three.
I just cut them out. Or they become a doorman in the background
You're
with no name.
like, if I don't name them and give them any substance, then they're
Yes.
fake.
No good lines. I mean, when I wrote Van, Halton had one line in the book, just one line. And the number of people that wrote and said, when does Halton get a book? And I'm like, no, Halton doesn't get a book.
Oh, but Halton
But
got a book.
then Halton started talking, and suddenly Halton had a book. And I'm like, it was just one line. And I
But
think
this
he
is a
said,
good line.
I eat people like your client for breakfast and shit them out before lunch. That was his only line in the book. And people were like, when's Halton getting his book? Like, oh God, okay.
You shouldn't have made him so dynamic with one line.
Who knew with one line that he'd be that
It's your own
dynamic?
fault.
Yeah, it's my own fault. All right, move on, Leah.
So we're going to ask this question. So you get a lot of hate about Richard being an asshole. We're going to go way back to the beginning. But you have not really written another character anywhere close to that. Do you have a hard time like connecting with characters like that, or is Richard just an enigma in Melanie Moreland's mind?
I wrote Richard when I was really angry over something, and I don't express anger very well. So Richard was an exercise to get this anger out. I wrote 6 chapters and I went, whew, I wasn't as mad anymore. A couple of weeks later, I resolved the situation. I wasn't mad. So I sent it to my editor and said, you can read this if you want. I've just been playing around with it. It's just an exercise. And she called me that night and she's like, when do I get more? And I said, no, it's just an exercise. He said, you need to write this book. And I said, but who's going to read an asshole? She said, Melanie, people love assholes, especially if you redeem him. Can you redeem him? She says, because he is a real asshole. And I'm like, I think so. She said, you need to write this. So I sat down and I finished writing Richard and sent it to her. And she's like, it's perfect. You got to publish this. So I sent it to Karen and said, would you read this? Karen and I were just friends then. I'm like, would you read this and tell me if you think I should publish this? And I got back a running commentary after every couple chapters, like, this man is making me stabby and I hate this asshole. I take that bagel and shove it right up his ass. All sorts of things. And then at the end, she's like, you need to publish this soon. So we published it, and I mean, it changed my whole life. But now, when I get angry, I make up people that shoot people.
they're still so nice about it.
Yes, they're Canadian mafia, so they're not dark romance. They're gray. They're Canadian gray.
Yeah.
So as they shoot you, they'll apologize.
I know. And that's one of the things like we owe it, because like people will ask us like if I want to go into like the mafia world, like where should we start? We're like, Melanie Morland has a really good mafia series, but it's not, it's like it's light mafia with a Canadian niceness attached to it. We're like, but it's a really good like entry into it and see if you like that kind of like
Yes.
character, because they are morally gray, but they're kind about how they do it. And it's just, it's that good like in between.
Yes, they're good men, but they live on the edge. Yes. And I tried, Karen, when I wrote my favorite kidnapper, Karen said to me, "Can you write me a kidnapping book?" Because she was in this her kidnapping
I love
phase.
a kidnapping.
Yes. So I'm like, "Oh, I could do that." And she's like, "I want a dark, make it as dark as you can." So I'm
Okay,
like,
then
"All
it ended
right,
up a
I'll do it."
rom-com.
Yeah. So I started, and the first chapter I wrote, I read it, and I'm like, "Okay." And I thought, oh, I need to add a little banter here. So I did. And then suddenly it turned from a dark romance into a play on the entire genre. And she read it. She's like, "This isn't what I wanted, but this is what I needed." I didn't know. So I've tried to write the dark. It's
Yeah.
just not in me. I
Doesn't
try.
flow.
I mean, I can get my characters to be angry, I can get them to shoot people, but I can't get into that
That
dark.
deep, yeah.
Yes. So the idea I had for the fantasy sort of thing, there's a lot of darkness around it. So I said to Karen, "I need to be in the right mood." She said, "Well, tell me when you want to write it, and I'll call Matthew and get him to be really angry." I'm like, "Okay, I'm not sure that's possible, but okay, you can try."
I
So
mean,
we'll see.
he'll have to break character for a little bit, see what
Yes.
happens.
Yeah, because he's kind of nice, so it's, hard to get mad at him. Maybe he'll take back all his underwear that I just took out of his drawers.
People are really confused now about that comment. We were talking about cleaning out closets and
Closets.
clothes and how our husbands don't throw away things with holes in them.
Yes.
But
Socks
anyway,
and underwear.
so you're BAM world, like you have quite a few second gen, but there's a lot of kids there. Do you think you're ever going to go back to that world?
Actually, I don't think I'm allowed to.
You're not allowed to say. Are you allowed to
Sort
say?
of just wrote a small novella about someone in that world,
Oh, yeah.
and now another person in that world is talking.
So
And
you weren't originally going to go back, were
no,
you?
I wasn't. But I needed an idea for an anthology story. And I started kind of messing around with this. And then I said to Karen, "What if I brought blah, blah?" And she was like, "Oh my God, yes." So we have to go and read the books and make sure I haven't said some things or done some things and made sure everything in this book matches up with these books. So Karen was going through stuff and like, "Yes, you can do this, you can do this. She has to do this. He has to do this." I'm like, "Okay." So yes, there might be some second gens coming around.
Well, that's exciting. 'Cause there's a lot of kids there. 'Cause
Yeah, there.
they procreated quite a lot.
I don't know why I did that, except when I was writing the epilogue of Sandy, I just decided to throw out as many
Just
kids as
keep
possible.
adding.
And then at the end, I'm like, "Whoa, 26 kids. These people are busy."
I mean,
And then, when I published it, people are like, "When are they all getting books?" And I'm like, I should have given them 5 kids. One kid per couple.
Yeah, but at the same time, though, that wouldn't have made sense.
No. Halton was the man who wanted nobody, wanted no kids, no nothing. He had to have a big family. So there's five right there. Richard, I already had 5 kids. No, I had 4. And then I added in his third book,
Yes, we added.
I added somebody. So there's 5. So there's 10 right there. Okay. I adopt people, sort of. And this is one of my adopted ones saying that the dinner I sent them was the best he's ever had. So there you go. I cook for everybody. So then, Van already had, I knew Van had three, so there's 13. I knew Bentley had four. So I'm like, okay, this is growing. So now I got to give, if they have kids, I got to give these people kids. And I just sort of rattled off the whole family and, Sandy is happy and everyone's happy. And then the, when is so and so getting a book? When is so and so a book?
It
And
was
then,
inevitable.
yes. So every so often I revisit the world.
So maybe eventually all 20 plus will have books, but it's just going to take some time.
Yes. And some of them are going to be short.
Well,
Novellas.
that's okay though.
But as long as, I really like, oh, I almost said the character's name. I really like his story. So we'll see. And I've been wanting to write a Matthew Van Ryan story for a long time. So I've been gathering tidbits about Matthew from things. There's a guy on, I'm not sure if it's Instagram or TikTok or maybe both,
It's probably
who
on
is my
Matthew.
perfect Richard. And he works out a lot with a friend at the gym, and the friend is much younger. And I'm seeing Richard and Matthew. When they do things and talk and joke with each other, I'm like, oh my God, this would be the perfect father-son thing. And then I showed it to Karen. I'm glad he enjoyed his dinner. I showed it to Karen and she's like, oh my God, that's perfect. And then she made the mistake of showing it to Atlee. So now she stalks this guy and drops in another Richard Matthew moment so that, I would hurry up and write this book. So I'm sure that'll come very soon at
Oh,
some
I'm
point.
sure.
Yes.
Well, we look forward to it. But
Yes.
let's talk Niall. So this book is book two of the Irishman duet. It came out June 19th, 2025. It's instant connection, morally gray hero. He's a little bit afraid of commitment for reasons. But so this book, like,
Male.
I'm muting. So this book, it starts with an overlap of the end of book one. Now, I
Yes.
will say, I read book two and then I read book one because apparently I do everything out of order anymore because that's how I roll. But I can say, like, I wasn't confused about the story going into it. Like, and then
Yes,
after I read.
I tried to sort of explain it in case you just picked up book two.
And then
Yes.
I went back and read through book one because I was like, I need to know, like, because I knew like the premise of it, but like, I was like, I need to know the details of Una and Finn. But so was it difficult to keep this style of duet, like where the stories are cohesive but separate at the same time?
No, because before I even finished writing Niall, I start or finished writing Finn, I
Finn.
started writing Niall so that I could, as a scene went, I'd go and write Niall's view of it so that
So
it was
all of those
really fresh.
overlapping scenes, you
Yes.
wrote them at the same
Yeah.
time.
So that it was fresh in my mind and the emotions were there. And I hadn't planned on giving Niall a book until the incident that drove them to this mission. And Finn says to him, Niall, help. And he picks up this woman. And then I'm like, oh God, now he needs a book.
Well, and like they're like, it's one of those things where he picks her up and he never wants to let her go.
Yes, it's just, a lot of people hate Insta Spark. And it wasn't an Insta love, it was an instant feeling. He didn't know what it was. She didn't know what it was. All she knew is she's safe with him, and all he knew is he had to keep her safe.
Well, it has that Stockholm syndrome like
Yes.
feel to it, but as the book plays out, like you definitely like it grows past that. Like there is a safety that they feel and there is a contentment that they feel, but once she is stronger, like
Yes.
that Stockholm, it kind of falls away and it like then it's naturally progressing.
Yes, and I love the two of them. He's so dark and she's so light. He's really tall, she's really small.
Yeah,
I
she's
like the black and white of the two of them.
Well, and Una,
Whereas,
like she's very timid, but she's also strong at the same time. Like she's had a lot of hurt and a lot
yes.
of like trauma, so to speak, in her life, but it hasn't stopped her from living.
No, she's in, she wants to go forward. She wants to get a job. She wants to get on with her life and try and put this behind her. But she wants Niall in it, and Niall's not sure. He's a male, right? He has to deny. And if I got them together and get them together the whole book, you know, he has to have some, I don't know what I'm doing. And, you know, and Finn had a lot of fun with that.
He did.
Yes.
Well, and also he's like, you know how you feel. Like, why don't you just admit it? He's like, but I can't because of this and because of this. And he's like, well, they were bitches, basically.
And that whole scene where Niall and Finn are arguing with each other, where John Lane does it in the audio, it's absolutely brilliant because he has the two Irish accents, but two different voices, and one slightly thicker because Niall's is still thicker. And then Roman comes into the scene, and then it's the three voices. And I said to Karen, he's arguing with himself in three character voices, and it's absolutely hilarious.
Well,
He
and
just.
he's such a strong voice actor, though.
He's amazing. Did you hear his thing in my group?
No, I didn't.
Karen said, "Would you wish Melanie a happy birthday?" A couple weeks ago, in Finn's voice, and he sang to me.
Oh,
It's in
really?
my group. It's
I'm gonna
just,
have to go back and listen to it. No, I missed
yes.
that because honestly, I avoid going onto Facebook if I can. Small increments.
Yeah, I understand. I sort of stick to my group and my page.
So this is back in the Men of the Falls world, but where did the initial idea for these stories come from?
I had this. I guess I was a little angry again. And I just had this idea of Canadian mafia, sort of, you know, syndicate, of someone running a casino here and owes him money. And I was like, she can't pay him. What if she offers him her sister? Like she's, and he takes great offense to this, but then somehow her sister is kidnapped and he feels responsible for it. And then he just grew in my head. I wrote, in fact, the dedication says sometimes you write a book for yourself. I just wanted to write this book. But then as I was writing it, Karen said to me, you're going to have to write Aldo. And that's going to have to be the first book. People have to read Aldo and then meet Roman and then go on. And the more I read, or the more I wrote this book, the more I loved Roman and Aldo, and I liked their relationship. And it was just going to be the duet, and that was it.
Yeah, but
And
we
then
needed
at the
Lucas.
end,
We
I
need
made
it.
the, you know, I said, we're going to release our shares to the Irish, give it to the Irish. And then I think I made the mistake of saying, give it to O'Reilly. And once I said O'Reilly, I woke up in the night a few days later and I was like, Finn was there telling me about his hotel and his casino and this woman he's always loved. And I was like, I hadn't planned on writing another book, but it happens.
Best laid plans and all.
It, and now there might be a third one, but I'm not supposed to talk about that. Karen's going to give me such shit. So I don't know where these characters come from sometimes or where these ideas come from. I think I started thinking about a mafia book as Matt and I were going over the bridge to Niagara Falls, New York. And I looked down and I saw the falls and saw the huge hotel there that we stay at quite often. I thought, it's a beautiful hotel. That would make the
I wonder
casino
if the
beautiful.
mafia ran it, what
Yeah.
would
I'm
happen?
like, I bet you that's a cover for a bunch of money. Then I'm like, oh, what if he was a sexy mafia guy?
Of
Because, you know, they're always sexy and handsome
course they
and perfect.
are. Of course they are.
Yeah, so I never know where the ideas come from, but sometimes they just hit me and they won't leave. There's tons of ideas that hit me, and I think, well, that would be okay. And then a couple days later, the idea's gone. But some stick, and if they stick, then I have to write them. So,
Is it hard to like balance the story of the character's relationship with like the story the background story.
At times, my books tend to be very couple concentrated. I
Yeah,
concentrate on
character.
that couple. I do bring in the secondary characters, but the story is mainly about that couple and them finding their world together, I
Right.
guess. But I'm always thinking, I need to bring this in, I need to bring this in. And I have a fabulous beta reader who's very tough on me, but she's always, Melanie, you need to add this. Melanie, you've forgotten this. Have you thought of expanding this? Or you're too much on this. Pull this away and take this.
Yeah.
I always, Karen will write me and say, your beta read is back. And I'm like, I can't touch it tonight. I'll
Because then
tomorrow
you
after
like
coffee.
focus. Yeah.
Yes. Because I know, one or two things I'm going to be like, well, I don't think so. And then when I sit back and go, she's right. I always have to take it with a grain of salt and sit back and go, okay, I see what she's saying. Okay, I need that. But yes, sometimes it's hard to focus, especially in the world of the mafia thing, because I had to show them some in the mafia world, but not enough that people get bored. I just finished trying to read a book. I won't say the name of it. And it was so concentrated on his mafia world. There's so little of the couple, I lost interest. So you always have to find that balance because people are reading it for the couple, right?
For the most part, yeah.
Yes. They want to know what their world is, but they don't want to hear about the 5-hour meeting with long details about it. And this book had that kind of thing. It was pages and pages. And I was like, I don't
Like
care
if
who's
you could cut
doing
out
that.
100 pages of this book, it
Yeah.
probably would be really good.
Yes. So I always try and balance it. And between Karen and my beta reader, Beth, I usually manage.
It's good that you have someone who's able and willing to tell you when you're getting things wrong, though.
She is, and I bless her and yell at her for it sometimes.
And then
But
thank her at the end.
I don't feel comfortable putting out a book unless she's read it. It's gotten to that point because I know she'll be brutally honest. And when she sends me something back and says, I have very little to say about this book, the only thing
Makes
I
you
think
question
is
it.
if you add a little bit here and here about this, otherwise everything's good. I'm like,
Like what's wrong here, though?
really? She's like, you've done everything I could have asked. And it's always funny. When I'm writing now, I'll be like, Beth's gonna want more there. I hear her voice. I'm like, I glossed over that too much. I need to, so I'll put in do Beth stuff in a bracket and move on and then go back later and add, because I know she's going to say, that was a little light. I want to see it. I want to hear it. I want to watch it happen. I don't want you to tell me about it. Okay. So, because I do sometimes when I'm rushing to get to a next scene, I start telling and not showing. So she's really good at picking that out.
Well, that's nice. That's always good to have, though.
It
Like
is.
having a
She's.
good team is one of the best things that you could look for.
I absolutely agree with that. And I'm blessed at the moment to have a great team around me. And I've had them for a couple of years, and I wouldn't trade them for the world.
So romance as a whole is still quite taboo in the world, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Do you find any difficulties as a romance author, and how do you overcome them?
There's still a stigma with romance.
It unfortunately, yeah.
And some people you can tell right away. What do you write? Romance, contemporary adult romance. Oh,
Yeah.
you get that look. And you're
Or
like,
the, oh, that's nice.
it's really hard to overcome. And sometimes you just have to walk away. If they give you that look, nothing you say is going to change their mind. I did challenge one lady one day. I said, have you read any contemporary romance lately? It's not Harlequin. It's not Bodice Rippers. There is some beautiful books out there, like really beautiful. And some of them, I don't think my books are overly heavy on the sex scenes.
No.
There are some that are have a lot. And if that's your genre or if that's your what you love, go for it. I tend to be more relationship and conversation, and found family is a big thing for me. Some people you can't convince. I mean, even now on Amazon, it's hard at times.
Well, and there, but there's so many different. The gamut of romance is so large. There's so many different levels to it.
There's so many subgenres now.
Yeah.
Some of them are frightening. I
Sometimes.
will give you that. Are you printing something?
Well,
It's okay. No, it's just we're just taping.
It's fine.
It's fine. There's so many subgenres that I've never even heard of.
And then, yeah, it's very expanded.
Yes. I mean, when I first started, the number of books that came out every day was probably a tenth of what comes out now. It's vast, and there is a lot of crap, especially with AI these days. But if you read the right people and you read the right books, it's a beautiful genre.
It is, yeah.
It lets people forget about everything out there just for a little while. And that's why I read. I want to forget about what's going on in the world and the terrible people and all the horrible things happening. You get enough of that all day long. So to be able to lose yourself in a different world for a little while, that's why I like historical. It's a totally different world than what I write, and that's another reason I love to read it, because it's totally different, and it just takes me away from everything else. There's some people who are just rude about what I do and are not very nice about it.
I feel like it's more a reflection on them, though.
Yes, I don't understand why people like war memoirs, but some people do. Good for you. You're reading a book. That's it. You're reading a book. Good for you.
If that's your genre, have at
If
it.
that's your thing, go for it. You like to read about hobbies or sewing. I don't understand sewing, but my mother-in-law has books and books and books on quilts and well, I don't understand them, but she loves them. That's her thing. Although she keeps asking to read mine, and I'm like,
Why not?
I've given her a few of the tamer ones.
Yeah. So my mom was a romance reader, and that's actually how I started reading romance, because she used to get the boxes of the Harlequin like categories
Yes.
like every month. And so I would just like take one, hide in my room for a few hours, and then emerge when it was finished, because even as a kid, I was a really fast reader. And so now, though, it's so funny. I'm like, we will be sitting at like swim meets. Like the one day we're sitting in a swim meet and she had her Kindle. I was like, what are you reading today? And she was reading a Riley Edwards series. I was like, oh, where did you start? Did you read these ones yet or these ones yet? And so we're going, and it's just so funny that like I have these conversations with my mom and I'm like, you should read this one and this one. But like, I know not to recommend some things for her. Because
Yes.
it's a little too much for her. But it's just, I like took her Kindle the one day and I'm like, here, I'm going to download these books for you that you need to read. And she's like, well, I think I already read those ones. I'm like, no, I know that you didn't because they just came out. So unless you like jumped the gun, then I know
Right.
you haven't. But you need, like, she liked the author but hadn't found that series yet. So it's nice because I have that connection with her.
Yes. Oh, it's lovely to be able to discuss the books that you love with someone, especially a mom or a sister. My mom has passed, but my mother loved books, loved. Her favorite was Danielle Steele. She had every, in fact, I still have them downstairs in a box because I can't give them away because my mom touched them, right? But she ever as soon as her book came out, my mom was at the bookstore to buy that
Buying the
book.
hardcover because that's what
Yes.
we got first.
So that was her thing. And she and my aunt used to read Harlequin romances. And my bought them all and then gave them to my mom. And I'd read them. So I've been reading romance. And I mean, those books, if you read them now, some of the old ones, I mean, they're laughable.
Yeah,
They were
they're
so tame
some of them.
compared to today.
Oh
My mom used to say, oh, you should read this one. He's got hard thighs.
yeah.
And she's like, he's a millionaire and he's going to marry her against his will, but he's got hard thighs, so she's going to fall in love with him. So I'm like, oh, they always fall in love.
Those hard thighs.
Yeah, those hard thighs of his. And it's true, if
Oh,
you read most of those old
yeah,
ones,
some of
that's probably the
the
sexiest thing they said. And he
descriptors.
kissed her one day, and 2 chapters later, she was pregnant. But, when I was 10 or 12 years old, I had no idea how that happened.
Yeah.
But,
But those hard thighs, they
yes,
really got you.
those hard thighs were working hard. Yeah, so it does still have a stigma, but I'm quite proud to be a romance author.
You should be.
And I think I like to think that my books mean something to the people that read them and help them just forget the outside stuff for a little while. And that makes me happy. And when someone writes me and tells me something I said or wrote in a book helped them or changed their life, or they didn't know this, or they talk about found family themselves, I just, it means a lot. So it makes me think that I'm doing the right thing.
Well, you're, I think you're definitely doing the right thing.
I try.
So, what is next? Do you know what's next?
Well, I am writing a book right now. I'm not allowed to talk about,
Okay.
but I'll be allowed to talk about it next month.
Okay.
And I'm very, very excited about this book. Very excited. But in September, the next book in my favorite series comes out. There's my favorite kidnapper, my favorite boss, and this one is my favorite hero.
Yeah.
And he's a grumpy, huge, sexy fireman.
I like fire.
And she rents an apartment from him, and he's not happy because she's Miss Sunshine, and she does things that drive him nuts. And of course,
I think Grumpy Sunshine is one of my favorite tropes.
yes, I love writing the, he's grumpy with everybody
But her.
but her. At first he's
Although he's
grumpy, but
still grumpy with her.
he can't stay grumpy. There's a scene in the book where she buys something for the front of the house, and he's like, that's not going on my house.
She puts it up anyway, though.
Yeah, she puts it up anyway, and he takes it down. She puts it up, he takes it down, and then suddenly she puts it back up again, and he's like, well, I guess it's not so bad.
It's a battle
Like,
of wills.
yes. And she's very strong. She
Good.
is a very strong. And as usual, there's a cat, because every book in this series has a cat. And I put a dog in this one because he's
Oh,
a fireman. I figured he had a dog, and his dog and her cat become best friends.
yeah. Oh, that's adorable.
So, and I had this idea in my head about how they met. So I wrote it out and sent it to Karen. I said, do you think this sounds like a good favorite book? And she's like, oh my God, yes, but you have to make him a fireman. I'm like, okay, I hadn't decided on his profession, but I can work with firemen.
Wow.
So I started writing it, and then every day it was like, do you have more chapters? Do you have more chapters? I'm like, I'm only sending you 2 or 3 chapters at a time. Because one chapter doesn't do any good. 10 minutes later, you're in my inbox saying something's wrong with the document because I've finished it. So I said, you get 2 or 3 chapters at a time.
Yeah.
And just, I reached a point in the story and I said to her, I'm going to jump ahead because I rarely write consecutively.
Okay.
I usually write some chapters, and I quite often go to the end of the book and
Okay.
then work my way backward. I don't know why, that just works for
So
me.
when I read out of order, I could be, if I read your book out of order, I might be reading it in the order you wrote it.
Could be.
Anything is possible. Actually,
Anything's possible.
yours I don't read out of order. I do actually read those ones in order,
Do
but
you read the epilogue?
I do read the epilogues, yes. And that is something about these Irishmen, though. There's no epilogue after book one. It's all
Because
after
we had
book
to
two.
continue.
That's true.
So, but there is a great epilogue at the end of,
It is
but I
very
didn't
good.
call it an epilogue.
No, it was the final chapter
You know who I did that for?
for Becky.
So she can't bitch at me.
She has
I'm
been
like,
better about reading them recently.
well, John said to me, this doesn't say epilogue. I said, there's a reason.
There's reasons.
There's a reason. And he's like, okay, I'll call it the final chapter. I said, thank you very
No,
much.
honestly, I read that and I started to laugh.
I'm like, she'll know exactly why I did this.
Yeah. I was like, this is a subtle dig at Becky, friends.
Yep, absolutely.
Melanie Moreland throwing shade on a regular basis.
Well, she doesn't like, well, I think she has been reading some of my epilogues.
Well, she's honestly afraid you're going to kill her in one of them.
Well, you know, I've been learning a lot with these mafia books.
Anything is possible, but I do feel
Anything is
like the
possible.
fear is there that a random Becky will show up and meet her demise in an epilogue. So she just reads them now. Maybe not for every author, but for you.
Well, she certainly got shit, didn't she?
She
I mean, we
did.
even got the t-shirts done up.
She's got the t-shirt to prove it. That's right.
Been there, done that, got the t-shirt.
Exactly.
So,
Well,
yes.
thank you, Melanie, so much for hanging out with me this morning. I appreciate it.
It's always a joy to talk to you.
Well, and I love hanging out and talking to you as well.
And thank you for having me on.
Always. And until next time, happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.